Ann Coulter, Dem Nightmare, What If the War Ends Before November? By Ann Coulter on March 16, 2022. Great news for Joe Biden. After months of abysmal public approval numbers, President Biden's favorability among registered voters has soared by 2 points to 45%. And all he had to do was bring us to the brink of World War III. The media are thrilled with the possibility of nuclear war with Russia. Catastrophes are terrific for ratings, and flood the zone coverage of a war between two faraway countries that has almost zero effect on the lives of most Americans allows journalists to act like deep think geopolitical strategists, after having quickly looked up Ukraine on Wikipedia. They dragged out the COVID panic porn for 2 straight years. By now, the only people still interested in pandemic updates are hysterical liberal women in Manhattan claiming to have long-haul COVID. The national pastime has segued seamlessly from watching TV anchors cry on TV about the coronavirus to watching TV anchors cry on TV about the fate of Ukrainian children. Of course, when American kids are murdered expressly as a result of our own government's policies, the journalism protocol is no crying, no coverage. There will be no tears for the 5-year-old Florida girl killed in October when an illegal alien from Guatemala, Ernesto Lopez Morales, tanked up on 6 32-ounce beers, then plowed into the little girl and her mother as he was driving to get more beer. Nor for Texas teenager Adrienne Sophia Exum, killed instantly one Sunday afternoon in 2020 when Heriberto Fuerte Padilla, an illegal alien from Mexico, smashed into the car she was driving, then fled the scene. There's even some news: the Biden administration announced that Fuerte Padilla will not be deported. And there will be no weeping for the still unidentified mother and daughter, aged 59 and 22, killed last December when a human smuggler carrying 6 illegals across the border into Texas sped through a stop sign and T-boned the pair. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but the media's obsessive focus on Ukraine is terrific for the interests of the Democratic Party. Recall that, in his 2012 book, Left Turn, How Liberal Media Bias Distorts the American Mind, then UCLA professor Tim Grussaclose demonstrated that media bias alone costs Republicans about 8 to 10 percentage points in elections. And that was 2012. One can only imagine what it is in post-Trump 2022. If only we could return to the junior varsity media bias of 2012. Until the war in Ukraine, the Democrats were facing midterms after having spent the previous 2 years mandating masks and an endless series of vaccinations, even for the vaccinated or previously infected. Democrats flung open the border to illegal alien murderers, drug dealers, gang members, and welfare recipients. Democratic district attorneys have turned city after city into feces-smeared murder-topias that make Charles Bronson's death wish look like the Sound of Music. These days, the left's main casus belli is teaching little kids about anal sex, transgenders, and the inherent evil of white people. What could even Stalin's media do with that record? Option 1, implement a collective mind wipe, perhaps through an electromagnetic pulse, to erase voters' memory of everything that's happened since Joe Biden was sworn in. Option 2, war. Someplace in the world that's not here. What crisis at our border? We're reporting on a war. How can you talk about murder rates when children are dying in Ukraine? What vaccine mandates? COVID is over. Now we're talking about war. Everything bad that's happening is Putin's fault. He's like Hitler. Talk about Russian collusion. Putin gave Trump Facebook ads, he's giving Biden a military invasion. By now, the media have whipped the public into such a frenzy over Ukraine that a majority of Americans want the US to start shooting down Russian planes, starting World War III with a nuclear-armed power. A small price to pay for democratic dominance. But much like American military interventions around the globe, things don't always go as planned. The Democrats' media helpers might want to recall President George H.W. Bush's 89% favorable rating in 1991, the highest presidential job approval rating then on record, according to Gallup. Those astronomical numbers came as a result of the conclusion of the Persian Gulf War, when we went to war with Saddam Hussein because he had invaded neighboring Kuwait, violating that nation's sacred sovereignty, and proceeded to commit unspeakable war crimes, including using poison gas. The first week of that war, Bush's poll numbers shot from 64% to 82%. Republicans had a lock on the next year's presidential contest. No serious Democrats were willing to challenge him. And the party ended up with a horny hick from Arkansas as their nominee. And then it all collapsed. By Election Day 1992, Bush's public approval rating was down to a pathetic 34%. The horny hick won the election, and Bush became an embarrassing one-term president. On the military side, at least the Middle East was finally at peace. We never heard a peep out of Hussein again. Wait, what happened?